Good morning, everyone. It is good to be back with you this Sunday morning. Really miss it when I cannot be here on Sunday morning and worship with all of you. I see that we have several visitors here this morning. I want to again extend a warm welcome to all of you who are visiting with us. We very much appreciate that you are here with us visiting, and we pray that you will come back at your next opportunity. I want to ask you a question. How great would it be if every government official that was of a judicial position was a just and fair one? How great would it be if our judges were fair? If our juries were fair? And on top of that, how great would it be if all of our officers and all those were also fair? Now, I don't know, maybe there's some of you here who wouldn't be too happy if our police officers were fair. They might give you more tickets for speeding than you already get. But that would be a great world to live in, wouldn't it? When everything was fair, when the wicked were punished and the just were rewarded, and that we didn't have any problems with anyone being corrupt in our world, especially in a position of power? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that we have a God in heaven that is just and fair. I hope you'll open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Here the Apostle Peter tells us something about the character of God. Peter says, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." If you go over just another book to the book of Romans, chapter 2, in verse 11, Paul says something very similar, "For there is no respect of persons with God." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17, they all say things very similar. God is not partial. He is just. He is fair. He is absolute. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing for three specific reasons that I want to cover with you this morning. Three elements in which there is no partiality with God. Now this first point, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I could make a whole sermon out of this very first point. And I'm going to try my hardest not to dwell too much on this first point. But this first point is there is no partiality in reconciliation. And I just want us to look at one main passage for this point. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Please turn with me there. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. I want you to bookmark this verse for this point, because we're going to be dealing in detail with a lot of things found in verses 12 through 19. And we might be flipping through to some other passages, though, as reference. But I want you to be there, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, and read along with me. Here Paul writes to the Ephesians, "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." Friends, there was a time when the Gentiles were separate and apart from the Jewish nation, when they were not in fellowship with the people of Israel. It calls them aliens. Aliens. What does that mean? Foreigners. They weren't associated with the Israelites. And because they were not associated with them, Paul says that they did not have any part in the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the promises that God had with the people of Israel. And in a sense, they were without God in the world. There was a time when there was a separation among men. specifically here between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles could not receive those promises that God gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 2 and 3. They could not receive those blessings of the promised land that God promised to the people of Israel. But they were separate. They were strangers. Verse 13, but now, there's a change. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh, are brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul says there was a division, there was partiality shown, but now, because of Christ, those who are far off are now brought close to God. All people are united now under the banner of God. Let's look at a couple of other scriptures to reinforce this point. John chapter 10. Turn with me there. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 15. Let's read a message from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's using an example here of a shepherd and sheep to make a point about the division between Jew and Gentile, which will be done away with when he dies on the cross. Here Jesus says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jesus says, I have a fold. He's referring to the Jews. They are my flock. But there's going to come a time when I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep, and I will be able to not only be the shepherd of the flock that I have now, but those who are a part of another flock, another fold, they also will be able to be added to my flock. And I will be their shepherd. I'm going to bring down that separation that was between Jew and Gentile. Turn now to Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 to further expound on this point of no partiality and reconciliation. Here Paul writes to the Romans, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Even when we were enemies, we were aliens, foreigners from God, through Christ, we have been reconciled back to him, and we are one. No matter if we are Jew or Gentile, no matter who we are, we can be reconciled. Now go to Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 20 and 21. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 reads, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile, listen there, all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Now all three of these verses connecting back to Ephesians chapter 2, what's his point there? There was a division, but in Christ there is no partiality. We are all brought near to God by the blood of Christ. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Now let's read verse 14 and 15. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. To summarize these two passages, Paul is telling the Ephesians that there was a division that was caused by the old law. There was a separation between Jew and Gentile because of the old law. But when Christ came and he died on the cross, what did he do? He nailed the old law to the cross with him, and he fulfilled the old law and put it away. And in its place, he instituted a greater law that in it there is no partiality. There is no division. but we are all one. We are one new man, he says there in verse 15. No longer two, but one. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. It's through the cross, friends, that he did this. Through his death on the cross, he was able to fulfill the law of Moses and institute this new law, this better covenant in which there is no partiality. And we are added to that one body that we read about here in verse 16, which is the church. If you go back just one chapter to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, Paul very plainly tells us that this body which he is referring to is the church. He says there, beginning in verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Friends, in the church, we are all reconciled to God. It doesn't matter if we're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if we're bond or free. It doesn't matter if we're black and white. There is no partiality in reconciliation, but we all can be reconciled to God through the blood of Christ. Verse 17 and 18 of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, and came and preached to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You know, it's through this reconciliation that we have access to God. There isn't a different standard for each person. You know, I, as a preacher, don't have more access to God than you do as a normal Christian, as a member. An elder does not have more access to God than one of us. But we are all equal in our access to God. And also verse 17, that message that was preached, was it preached with partiality to only certain people? No, but it was preached to everyone. And we can read that in the Great Commission, can't we? Preach the gospel to all nations, to every creature. Everyone is equal in reconciliation. We all can take part in that reconciliation. Verse 19 and verse 20, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Notice that word fellow citizens there. What does that mean? We're equal. There's no partiality, but we all have reconciliation through Jesus Christ. It's fair. It's equal. And there is not a reason that any one of us in this auditorium right now could not be reconciled to God, because he has made it easy for all of us to be saved and to be reconciled. Now, that's reconciliation. There's another way that God does not show partiality, and that is in restitution. What I mean by restitution is how we are repaid for the works that we sow. Still in Ephesians, go over a few chapters to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's read verse 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8 and 9. And talk about this subject of being repaid or restitution. Here in Ephesians, Paul writes, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Paul makes this point. He's talking specifically to slaves and slave masters here. He says, slaves, you can have eternal life just like any other free man if you do what I command you to do. If you do what's right, you'll be rewarded the same way a free man would be. There is no partiality. But on the other side of that coin, go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and let's read verse 25. Here Paul writes to the Colossians, he says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. You do what's right, it doesn't matter who you are, you will be rewarded. But if you do what's wrong, it doesn't matter who you are, and you will be punished. God is fair and impartial in his restitution. We will receive what we deserve. But going back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9 that we read, he talks to the master specifically there, and he says, "Masters, behave towards your servants the same way I told your servants to behave toward you." Well, why is that? Because both are under one master, whether they're bond or free. And that master is in heaven. And in heaven, he wants everyone to be obedient. No matter what his or her status is, we will be judged by the same standard. There is no partiality in restitution with God. Go over to Romans now. Romans chapter 2. We'll read verse 6 through 10. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Here Paul writes, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish. Upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." God is going to give us what we deserve. According to what we have sown, we shall reap. Whether we are bond or free, black or white, male or female, Jew or Gentile, we will receive a just reward. Verse 8 and 9, "Every soul will be punished who does evil. There will be tribulation, no exceptions. Every soul will be rewarded who does what is right, no exceptions." I think the best passage that covers this idea of no partiality in restitution is in the Old Testament. Go to Ezekiel chapter 18 with me. Ezekiel chapter 18, and let's begin in verse 25. Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning in verse 25. And we'll read each one of these verses and discuss them. Here, Ezekiel writes, and he is writing what the Lord is saying to the people of Israel. Now the people of Israel are complaining against God. They're saying, "God, you're unfair." And God here in verse 25 is repeating their accusation to him. And then in the following verses, he's going to give a reply. He's going to rebuke them, basically, and prove to them that he is not unfair. Look at verse 25 with me. "Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal or unfair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal?" God says, you're accusing me of being unfair, of being biased, of being partial. But I'm here to tell you, you're the partial ones. I am fair. Verse 16, he says, and this is his explanation, this is his proof that he is a righteous God. He says, "When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die." God says, it doesn't matter how great of a life you've lived, but if you do wickedness and you die in that wickedness, the fair thing, the just thing, the equal thing is that you will be punished. That's what's going to happen. That's fair. That's just. That's equal. Because that is the right thing. But on the other side of that coin, verse 27, he says, "Again, when the wicked man turneth from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive." Verse 28, "Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die." He says, if a wicked man turns from his wicked ways and does what is right and lives in that righteousness, the right thing, the just thing, the equal thing is for them to be saved. That's fair. That's not bias. We have biasness in our courtrooms today. People get bribed all the time. People don't listen to the facts, but they take what they think is the right thing to do and their opinion, But God says, I am fair. Absolutely fair. And if you do what's right, even if you've done wrong, if you repent of that sin and do what's right, you're going to be saved. No matter how much evil you've done, if you turn, you'll be saved. No matter how much good you've done, if you do what's evil, you'll be punished. He is a fair and just God. Verse 29 and 30. Yet said the house of Israel, he's repeating their question again, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. God says, I'm a just God. I'm a right God. And I'm going to be fair. And I'm going to be so fair that even though you're wicked and accusing me of things that I'm not doing, I'm still going to give you a chance to make amends. I'm going to give you that time to repent before you get punished. He is a just God. And there is no partiality in his restitution, but everyone will receive what we deserve. That's not the only thing. There is no partiality, thirdly and finally, in salvation. There's no partiality. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read verse 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Here, Paul makes a comparison between the physical body and the spiritual body. He says the physical body has many parts, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, arms, legs, but they're all part of a single body. The same is true with the church. There might be many different members with many different gifts, but we're all a part of one body. And verse 13, we all enter that one body through one way, through baptism. It's not, say, a prayer for one person, sprinkle for another person, pouring for another person, and another person has to be immersed, but it's all the same, all equal for everyone, that we are added to that body through baptism, no matter who we are, male, female, Jew, Gentile, bond, or free, but we all can be saved through baptism. What a wonderful thing. And isn't that so true as we read through our New Testament? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, who was Peter talking to? He was talking to some of the men that crucified Christ. And what was his response to them in verse 38? Repent and be baptized. Now, if there was partiality, don't you think it would be shown to the people who crucified Christ, the Son of God? I would think so. But God is impartial in salvation, and if they repented, no matter what they did, they were going to be saved. Same thing is true in Galatians 3, 26 and 10, through 27, and Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. It's through baptism that we have salvation. It's not harder for one person than it is another, but it's all equal. It's all the same. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3. And I want us to read verse 27 and 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and 28. And expound upon this point just a little bit more. Here Paul writes to the Galatians, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. Friends, if we are baptized for the right reasons, we are all added to the body of Christ. We are all in that one body. It doesn't matter who you are. If you've done the right thing, you will be saved. You will have a fair and impartial salvation. God is not going to judge you more harshly than anyone else. And say, no, I know you've done what's right, but you can't be saved. That's not how he is. He is an impartial judge. And there is no longer a division when we are in the body of Christ, but we are all one, verse 27. And this salvation, guess what? It's offered to everyone. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Salvation has appeared unto all men. Hebrews 5, 9. All who obey are saved. Acts 5, 14, 8, verse 12, 17, 20, and 17, verse 12. Both men and women obeyed the gospel. Romans 1, 16. It is to everyone who believes they can have salvation. Friends, there is no partiality in salvation. You have an opportunity to obey the gospel that is not any different than anyone else. But you can do it. You can be saved. Now, all these points about God and about how He is impartial in His reconciliation and His restitution and His salvation, how does that apply to me today? What am I supposed to take from this? Knowing this about God's character, how wonderful that is, how does that affect me right now? I want you to look at a couple of passages. First, look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. The way this applies to us is because we are also commanded to be impartial, to be like God and not have those biases. One of the best examples of this is a parable by James. In James chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, he talks about the man who's dressed in fine apparel and the man who is not dressed nicely. And they come into the assembly. And he says that they are to treat them equally. They are to treat them fairly. And I said chapter 3, it's chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. They are to treat them fairly, with the same respect. It does not matter who they are or where they came from, but it matters how they behave. I want you to notice specifically verse 9 of that passage. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. If we show partiality, if we show bias, guess what? It's a sin. But we are to all be one. We are all to be equal. We are all to be impartial toward one another. Because that's the way God behaved toward us. Now look at James chapter 3, verse 8 through 17. What you're going to see here is a very interesting section of Scripture talking about our tongues. In verse 9, he says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. He says, with the same mouth that we bless God, we turn around and we're biased and we curse our fellow man. That doesn't sound right, James says. That doesn't sound fair. That sounds hypocritical. Verse 15, he says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Partiality is not from heaven, but it is from the world. And this partiality, this hypocrisy of partiality, verse 16, is an evil work. Because it breeds envy and strife and confusion when we show partiality. Verse 17 sums it all up in this one section. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. God, He is impartial in His reconciliation, in His restitution, in His salvation. And if we are children of Him, how are we to behave? Without partiality. So let me ask you a question. Can a Christian show partiality if there cannot be found any in God the Father? Truly, we ought to be without partiality. Truly, we are to all be one in the body of Christ. If you're here this morning and you have been biased, you have been behaving in a way that God does not have even in His character, then something needs to change. If you need to repent of a sin that you've committed, we ask that you do that today. If you need to obey the gospel and be baptized and have that salvation that's so easily set before you, I hope that you'll do that today as well. If you need to do either of those things, we ask, respond to the Lord's invitation now. Come forward as we stand and as we sing. Jesus.